And welcome back to another episode of This Week on Channel 9. I'm Ryan Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And we've got some updates on Windows 7. When can you buy it?
Yes, we got PEX and PEX's little brother, Quex.
Quex.
Yes.
And Bing for everybody. But first, our top story.
And you can't have a top story this week because it was all about E3 and Project Natal.
Project Natal. Yeah, lots of announcements coming out of E3. Monday was Microsoft Day. And we announced a bunch of stuff. We'll be talking a little bit more during our picks of the week. But the first one is this Project Natal, which basically it does motion capture and has an infrared camera. It's this little device that you'll put like on top of your TV, and it basically allows you to interact with your Xbox 360 using voice, using body motions, using all sorts of stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, it can detect your face, who you are, your voice. It's got a multi-sensor microphone. Or microphone array. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is pretty amazing stuff. The way it actually shoots is similar to shooting lasers, where you can actually see things in dimensions and depth and actually understand where things are. Just totally incredible.
Right.
It is. You are the controller. There's a ton of stuff that you can do here. I'm really excited about this. Just in terms of the coding for fun, geeky side, being able to build apps. If I can build an XNA app for this, that's going to be awesome.
That would be hotness. And I think what really makes this legit is Steven Spielberg is backing this. You know, Steven Spielberg, a lot of people don't know this, but he's actually been very involved as kind of a director of video games over the last few years. A buddy of mine works down in EA Los Angeles, and he actually works on the same floor. Steven Spielberg comes in there like 2-3 times a week to work on stuff. So really cool to see him getting involved and seeing him get excited about
this.
And
the guy who built Minority Report. I mean, you should definitely check out the videos. One example is like just the movie browsing experience, where they're doing gestures to be able to navigate movies and then being able to use your voice to say play to play the movie.
Right.
Love this stuff.
That'd be cool if we could just advance slide.
Yeah, exactly.
But we still have to hit this
slap
button.
Brian.
Yeah. And just in case you're skeptical, the guys over at Gizmodo were skeptical as well until they actually got a chance to play with it. So
yeah, so what's interesting here is a bunch of pictures of them, you know, flailing around. not the most swift of motions, but they tried to break in it, and they couldn't. They could only get shots of them. They couldn't get shots of the hardware. But they, if you read this review, and it's two people that came in skeptical, and they really liked it.
Nice.
They really, really liked it. It was able to do great tracking. Like, the guy's playing the game, and he sits down, and it's still tracking him. Like, it's able to understand and decipher between different body parts. I mean, just amazing. And they were like, we want this.
And even after he's done with the game, it followed him home. And, like, it just tracked him. Like, it's still tracking
him. It is Twitter stalking him. It is that good.
Nice. And so, switching gears here. So, we talked about Bing last week, and now Bing is available for everybody. So
yes.
I think it was kind of interesting because at the beginning of the week, it looked like there was a bit of a staged rollout going out. People that were in North America were getting different results than people in Europe, different features, things like that. But now it's actually real. I've been using it. I love it. I've been Binging. I've made it a daily part of my vocabulary. There's all sorts of good jokes that people have gotten around there that might not be politically correct, so stay away from those.
Yeah.
But basically, they've already they're already on top of their API story. So all the Bing APIs are now documented. You can go use them. And unlimited use, even for commercial applications as well.
Yeah, so this is huge. JSON, XML, SOAP APIs. But if you like the results from Bing, you can actually use them in your application. And there's a number of things here. So there's a specific page, Bing for Developers. It borrows a lot from the design of the Lyasearch APIs. But if you just want, like phone book, for example, to just look up, say, like businesses.
Right.
That's built in.
Right. And last week, we didn't know whether or not Bing was going to completely replace all the Live brand. We emailed our friend Betsy Aoki, and she pointed us to some information. Basically says that the Bing replaces Live Search. So there are things like
and Virtual Earth.
And Virtual Earth, right? The live translator has already become the Bing translator. But then there's a bunch of other things like Windows Live Messenger, Windows Live Hotmail, things like that. Those will at least, you know, for the time being, remain as Windows Live assets. So got some answers there. And then also I found out yesterday, Todd Bishop, I read his blog, and he was talking about Bing 411 that launched yesterday. So in the United States, you can call 1-800-BING-411, and There's actually the leading search provider has one as well, but ours is better. It actually has a lot more capabilities. So I was able to request weather, request stock information, request directions. It was really nice. It was all voice activated and it was easy to understand. So I
wonder
I liked
if it's
it.
Probably using Tell Me, another system that.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, that's probably possible. What it was. So for our friends around the world, I don't know if there's going to be an international version of this as well. But in the United States, you can call 1-800-BING-411. Occasionally, there's an ad that comes up, but it's a free service. So
sure,
it's good stuff.
And
Windows 7, we apparently this became a leak, and then it kind of got confirmed by Redmond that Windows 7 general availability is going to be October 22nd. I don't think they say what year here, do they?
But we don't want to log us into a year.
Yeah, but no, seriously, October 22nd, 2009 is when you can actually go buy Windows 7.
Yeah, so this is awesome.
Yeah.
This, you know, there's a bunch of stuff in terms of when the product actually RTMs to when it's actually available for end customers. And folks like MSDN subscribers, TechNet subscribers will be able to get the product when it RTMs. But there's that time also, one, to get it in channel for physical product.
Right.
You know, your local electronics store.
Right. So Dell and HP, they've got to build out the machines that you can actually buy, for example.
Right. And even just the packaging, too.
Right. Right.
So if you were just going to buy the package. And then, yeah, as you said, all the OEMs that are building PCs on this.
Right. So very, very exciting.
Yes, I know.
And here's a neat one that Scott Guthrie blogged about this week. This is an IIS search engine optimization toolkit. So if you want to make sure that your website's going to really pop in the search engines, this is a great tool that you can use to help you tweak your website, help you analyze your website, tell you things that you might be doing wrong. What are some of the things that Scott mentioned?
So this is, you know, classic Scott Gu post. It goes through step by step on what you need to do to actually set up the kit, how it works, and then how it runs its analysis. But he did analysis on his site, scottgu.net, which is like his old personal website, starter kit site. And it mentioned things like make sure to have an /, for like URLs when you're linking back, so that it knows, I guess, the end of the structure, that it's not a specific value. Just interesting stuff. So definitely check out the tool, and it is free.
Yeah, that's great. Very cool. So our friends over in Microsoft Rise, Microsoft Research that focuses on like programming,
software engineering,
exactly.
Research and software engineering.
They've released another version of PEX. It's PEX 0.13. I think these guys have the most modest version names ever. Like, I don't
We're
know.
We're up to 0.13.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. You would think by looking at the version number that this actually can't do anything for you.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, all it would be like is pop up hello world, yeah. Hello world lols.
My application compiles with like minimal warnings. That's version 1. I'm shipping it. But seriously, like, they've shipped it. It supports Visual Studio 2010 Beta 1. So they're right on top of this. And F Sharp Beta 1 and Code Contracts as well.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of cool stuff, and great to see this. So people that want to play with PEX in 2010, this is great.
Yeah. And PEX is
followed by Quex.
Quex.
I don't know how to pronounce that. So this was actually a project also done by an intern in Rise. But it's the same thinking on PEX. If PEX is doing exploratory testing on parameters, meaning I am going to try and call this method with all these different kinds of, you know, combination of strings and numbers and see if I can break your code, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing, but for SQL, for a structured query language. So if I have specific queries, if I have specific stored procedures,
maybe triggers, functions.
Things that expect values in a database, right? Any of these things, I can actually call them and see what happens, use the same sort of thing where I'm trying to send a bunch of different values. What happens if I send null values? You know, what happens when I send zero? What happens when I send a character, characters larger than this? What's the actual value and what's the expected value?
Right. And I think a lot of people, when they first look at PEX and Quex, think that it just feeds a bunch of random data to your application. And that's really not the case. It's actually very smart about it. So if you have a flow control that says if X is greater than 10, do this. If X is less than 10, do that. Then it's going to pick values that exercise both of those code paths. And so it's very smart about the way that it basically...
Or if it's exactly 10.
Or exactly 10. Thank you. Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Yeah. So it's very smart about building that flow control tree and then basically walking every part of that tree to try and find something that might be wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. So nice job, guys. And I don't know if this is version 0.001. I don't know what version of Quix is available yet.
It's negative minus 9 for version numbers.
Got to work our way up. So here's one that's actually a kind of a pet problem that you've solved a few times, and you just were tired of having to solve it over and over again.
Yeah, exactly. So this is one example, and the goal here is, all right, so I'm deploying a .NET app. I don't want resource files. Maybe those are images. Maybe those are text files, whatever they happen to be. To be laid on disk. What I want to do is go into the project properties and solution explorer and say that it's going to be an embedded resource.
Right.
And what that means is when it's actually compiled, it's burned into, you know, the DLL or the XE or whatever it happens to be. So once you do that embedded resource, you have to be able to get it out in a specific way. And this is the code. It's very simple, but it's one of those, I'm sure people are running into this, assembly, get executing assembly, actually get the manifest resource stream, which is the location of the file name, and then you can actually load it and play with it.
Nice. Should be a code snippet for that.
Yes, there really should be.
So this is really cool. So Adam Kinney interviewed a guy named Nikola, who's really likes Silverlight, and you'll see what I mean when you watch the video. And basically, this is a motion capture viewer in Silverlight. So apparently, I didn't know this. Apparently, there is a well-known file format for describing all the motion capture data that gets captured, like when you see people in the studio, like when Tiger Woods goes into EA and does his golf swing, and then they turn that into, like, you know, Tiger Woods golf or whatever. That's a well-known file format. I'm sure there's actually more than one. But Nikola wrote a viewer that uses the new Silverlight 3 3D capabilities to actually take all those data points and play those back in a motion capture viewer. And so we were talking about this before the show. It's like, well, this is only good if you actually have the motion capture data. But Project Natal, once someone writes the app for that, seems like that could potentially, we're going to make a prediction here.
It tracks,
could,
what is it, like 50 joints or whatever Natal tracks in real time?
Oh, I didn't know what the number was. But yeah, I mean, you could imagine you could do all sorts of really cool stuff.
I can't wait to program this stuff.
Yeah, so.
I haven't been this excited in a while.
so we should definitely.
Since SP1.
Definitely check out whether or not Project Natal will be able to feed this into it. Otherwise, in the meanwhile, I suspect you can probably go download other motion captures that people have and start playing around with Nikola's application. All the source code's available.
So, sweet.
Yeah.
Friend of the show? Sure.
Friend of the show, Habib Haidarian.
He laughs at our inside jokes. So Habib... is on the debugger team, and he walked through one of the features in Visual Studio 2010. People are probably familiar with visualizers, which allow you, while you're running the application, I'm on a breakpoint, I can inspect that variable and actually visualize that. So rather than seeing properties methods in the watch window for a data set, I could actually visualize that data set.
Or rather than seeing a byte array, show me the bitmap, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And these are extensible, et cetera, et cetera. The point here is there's a new one, which is a WPF visualizer. So you're able to point it, you know, say at a current WPF form and actually load it up. Now, it does three things. It gives you the tree view representation. It gives you the name value pairs for properties and how properties are set. Then it actually gives you a visual representation of that code.
That's
so you can
awesome.
Imagine, yeah. So like I am going through a loop and I am adding 10 child elements, 10 buttons for each, you know, each person in that loop. Mm-hmm. I can visually see as I go through those buttons being added, is there something weird going on with my code? And it really just helps, I think, visually represent something like this tree and make it really easy for developers to use.
Absolutely. So once again, great blog post from Habib. And
yes.
You know his license plate?
Of course, runtime.
Runtime, absolutely. So here's another cool one. So we've talked about T4 on the show a few times. So T4 is a way to programmatically generate code, right?
Right, to destroy the universe and to lock... that's
different
the wrong
T4.
Okay.
But basically, this is David Ebo's blog, and he walks you through, like, doing this with T4 and doing this using the code DOM, which was previously, like, the main way that most people would do this. And it's really cool results. So this actually, if you're wondering, like, why everyone's so excited about T4, take a look at this simple Hello World kind of comparison.
20 lines?
20 lines versus 4 lines.
Exactly.
And 4 human-readable lines, too. So
yes.
It makes
yes,
a lot
I don't want to have to say like public accessor.accessor.public.
Yeah.
No, I just want to spit out my code.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
So link to FQL.
FQL. Be careful there.
Yeah.
So that's a code project, and the goal here is to, and we've seen the list of link providers. This goes through how to use Facebook query language. So Facebook query language is a query-like syntax that allows you to say get information about a specific person, mm-hmm. or I can say of my friends, get me friends where you know interests include like Halo, for example. It says know who I still want to be friends with. For example.
Or show me an alert anytime someone's relationship status changes. Yeah.
That's actually a great one.
Yeah, so you just call them right away.
Yeah.
Like, yo, dude.
It just picks up, automatically dials
your
phone.
Stalking me? Yeah.
Dude, how'd you know, man? I just updated my status.
Yeah, so you want to go out on Friday. So anyway, another in the never-ending...
And gender equals female.
Yes, that's true. Never-ending nice list of
link
providers. So did you ever use Tweak UI for Windows way back in the day? It was a really nice application for like doing everything.
I used PowerToys.
PowerToys, okay. So this was actually before PowerToys, but yeah, basically Tweak UI lets you change all sorts of different settings in Windows which aren't really exposed in the UI. They're exposed via the registry for the most part.
Sure.
So like change what right-click send to menu options you get, or change like the whether or not there was any delay on the start menu when you were moving up, at least in the old school versions of Windows.
Sure.
So I love that application. Greg Duncan pointed us to an application called Little Tweaker 1.1, which is strictly for Windows 7. Right now it only works on 32-bit, so
yes.
Hopefully that'll work on 64-bit eventually. But basically gives you a lot of these same kind of power user tweaking capabilities. So there were a couple that you mentioned.
Yeah, so a couple of my favorites, because I happen to do them, is the command prompt here.
Oh, right. Got to turn that on.
In fact, I would want to probably switch that to a .NET command prompt here.
Oh,
so that
yeah.
way you can easily switch in. It knows the environment variables in case I need to MS build or CSC something or mm-hmm. VBC. See, Visual Basic? Okay.
or VJC. But go ahead.
Is it really VJC? Is that
yeah.
what it was?
The J-sharp one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. So nobody's going to fact check you there.
Yeah.
The other one is I have some random files from another machine. It says I don't have permission for that. Right click, and you can actually take permissions for all the files.
Oh, nice.
In an area. So just cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Greg. And so, you know, a lot of people have noticed, obviously, we've got a new studio, super cool, thanks to Larry and Nick and Michael and everyone who's setting this up.
Yep.
And Larry put together a really cool photo synth here that you can use to kind of walk around. And, you know, if you were planning on storming the building anytime, this is a good way to get a good layout of the studio.
Yeah, that's but, the corner. And...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you can go check this out. It's all publicly available. Larry was kicking himself because he didn't expect it to become public until Jeff pushed it out. And he was thinking it would have been really cool to go hide an Easter egg somewhere in here.
Oh, but, that would have been funny.
Maybe
yes.
We'll do that later for you.
Yeah, actually, if you follow it and take the camera, you can actually see Nick sitting in the control room over there.
Oh, nice.
Kind of funny.
Nice. I didn't notice that.
Yeah.
And there's some new UI improvements to PhotoSynth as well, which I don't know off the top of my head, but I know Larry mentioned highlights. So, you know, if you're ever like trying to just get your bearings and move around a synth, it can be hard to like, you know, skip from one interesting point to another interesting point if there's like 200 pictures in the way. But now the PhotoSynth author can actually set highlight points so you can say, show me the control room, show me, you know.
Show me Brian's nostrils.
Yeah,
awesome.
Exactly. Show me the bridge,
jump
engine
right
room, whatever.
The so, British engine room.
Not the British engine room, the bridge, the engine room.
Oh.
Like, our set looks like Star Trek, anyway.
Oh, God,
so back
wow.
to picks of the week.
Picks
so,
of the week!
So getting back to E3, there was a lot of really exciting stuff that happened at E3 this week, and we mentioned Project Natal, of course.
Sure.
But there's some other stuff that that potentially got lost in the noise here, and this stuff is actually coming before Project Natal. So Project Natal, they haven't actually announced a date yet. Speculation I've seen is like
definitely
2010.
Not this year.
Not this year. I've seen 2010 is when they expect to have something out there, from what I've heard. But there's some other things. One of these I mentioned last week, which was bringing the Zune video library into Xbox 360, and specifically they're going to support HD content as well. So you'll be able to go out and buy content, you know, let's say buy the Leto 007 movie, and you'll be able to watch that in surround sound 5.1. You'll be able to watch
1080p.
It in 1080p HD. So yeah,
that's instant streaming.
Instant streaming. So that's all hotness. Last.fm is going to be coming, so now you can set up your Xbox 360 and, you know, you just
it's
set
party
your
mode,
Last.fm. Yeah, totally. It's awesome. And better Netflix support, too. So Netflix, you know, is awesome. I use it on my Xbox 360 all the time.
I got it, too, man. I'm addicted to the live streaming. Even shows that I didn't want, I'm like, Heroes. Yeah, you know what? I'll get into that, that
why
series.
Not? And then the only downside of it is that you still have to manage your queue on your computer.
Yes.
One of the nice things I've noticed, though, is that you add something to your queue, and it's pretty instantly showing up on, on your Xbox 360. But they've taken it a step further, and they said with this new Netflix support they announced at E3, you'll actually be able to go through and browse the catalog of Netflix movies online and then just pick them from right there without having to manage your queue on this separate experience.
It's very
cool.
So
it's amazing, yeah. Xbox 360, like, you know, they always said we want this to become kind of the cornerstone of the living room. It really is the cornerstone of my living room, so.
And with Natal, it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Natal.
Yeah.
And my pick also is Xbox Gets Social. So this was demoed by Felicia Day, where she was showing Facebook integration. Mm-hmm. So you can actually go through Facebook photos, see what's going on people's walls, have that experience, and actually link a Xbox account with a Facebook account. So you can see actually when your friends are online on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I can imagine a world where, like, you know, it says status updates or I'm looking for friends or even some things that I can't even say. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff there. That I could imagine it's not bad.
You have to be careful with that, though, because my boss is also on Xbox and on Facebook and everything. And if I call in sick, then I go home and I start playing Halo.
Yes.
You know, that can be kind of dangerous.
Awkward.
Awkward, for sure.
Twitter, same thing. So you can actually see, and I think they need to work on some of the visualizations. I'd love it if this was exposed in some way where XNA devs could build different ways to visualize Facebook and Twitter data in some way, shape, or form. If there was almost like a go-between. So you're still not connected to Facebook and Twitter and doing anything connect directly. You're going through this proxy, and then you can actually have cool visualizations of your Twitter stream.
So how does it work now? You're playing Halo, and then you get a little toast that says Dan is making dinner or something like that?
So I mean, the experience at least they showed was you're in the Twitter application itself, and then it shows like the stream, and then you can update your status as well.
I see. So it's not going to be like overlay on top of games. At least
it
right
could
now.
Be.
Not right now.
It could be.
Gotcha.
But I was just thinking in terms of developers and building cool stuff with XNA to visualize this cool set of data.
Gotcha.
You know, like a lot of people have seen Twitter visualizations. You can do all those Twitter visualizations as well.
Gotcha. So. Cool.
Yeah, very cool stuff. So, jam-packed week.
Yes, that's true. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.